This morning's sermon is called True Vision and True Blindness from John chapter 9, verse 26 through 41, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We're coming to an end here in this great chapter. This is our last few verses. We left off last Sunday with the Pharisees, the religious leaders, in verse 24 and 25 of last Sunday, saying, "So they again called a man who was blind and said to him, 'Give God the glory. We know this man, Jesus,' they said, 'is a sinner.' And the formerly blind man said, 'Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see.'" What a great little testimony that is. It's probably how you felt too when you came to Christ, right? "I was blind, but now I see." What a great response from this formerly blind man. "All that I know, I used to be one way, but now I'm different because of Jesus Christ." Oh, what a beautiful testimony. So let's go ahead. We'll pick back up on our story here. If you brought your Bible with you, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. Gospel of John, chapter 9. Let's go through the Word of God. Let's take a look at verses 26 and 27. Verse 26 says, "Then they said to him," the formerly blind man, "again, 'What did he," Jesus, "do to you? How did he open your eyes?' He," the formerly blind man, "answered them, 'I told you already, but you do not listen.'" You know some people like that? I do. "Why do you want to hear it again?" Look at this. This must have set their hair on fire right here. "Do you also want to become his disciples?" What a great answer, huh? You know, a little sarcasm can be biblical at times. The formerly blind man says he wants to be Jesus' disciple now that he can see. Smart man. Almost to say, "I can see now and I'm going to go find Jesus. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to sit at his feet and listen to his words. I'm going to be one of his disciples. He opened my eyes." He declares to them, "I am going to follow Jesus, regardless of what you guys think." This is what he's telling these high religious leaders. Let's take a look at their response. Let's look at verse 28 and 29. We kind of figured this would be their response, verse 28. "Then they reviled him," which means to curse at him. "And they said, 'You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from.'" Now, back in chapter 5, we read that Jesus told these same religious fellows who claim to be disciples of Moses, Jesus told them, "Do you think that I shall accuse you to the Father? There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe me?" says the Lord. You know what Jesus was telling them? "You profess to be Moses' disciples, but in fact, he's the one who's accusing you to my Father in heaven. That you are indeed disciples of the devil, not Moses. He accuses you," he tells them, "not me. He stands before my Father and accuses you, the one whom you're trusting in." So after they revile this man, let's look at his response. We're going to find out this man was a biblical man. He may not have been able to see, but he could hear well. Let's look at verse 30 and 32. Verse 30 says, "The man answered and said to them, 'Why, this is a marvelous thing.'" A little sarcasm again, doesn't hurt sometimes if it's biblical. "That you do not know where Jesus is from, yet he has opened my eyes." Let's just stop here for one moment. In other words, this man is saying, "It amazes me that you guys, being the religious leaders, do not know where Jesus is from. Because only someone from heaven would be able to open my eyes." Oh, this just blows me away. This is a marvelous thing. This amazes me that you guys, being the religious leaders, do not know where this man is from. He gave me new eyes. He must be from heaven. How can you not see this? He's telling them. Then he goes on, look at verse 31. He said to the Pharisees, this is where he gets biblical on them right here. "Now we know that God does not hear sinners." That's an Old Testament principle, so you know. That's in Psalm 66:18. It says in 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." That's what the Old Testament says. This man knew the Old Testament. He may have been blind, but he could hear good. You remember where Jesus healed him, where he was when Jesus healed him? He was sitting outside of the temple gates, listening to the Word of God being read. He couldn't see, but he could hear, we're finding out. He was listening to the Old Testament being read probably for years. Then he said, look at this. He gets more biblical. "But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him." That again is in the Old Testament, Psalm 34:15. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." This man knew the Old Testament. And guess what? He's preaching to the preachers. Don't you love it? These fakes, these hypocrites. He's giving them the truth. Love it. Then he went on to say, look at verse 32. He gets even more biblical with these religious leaders. "Hey, since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind," which is also very biblical. In the Old Testament, there is no record in the Old Testament of anyone healing a blind man's eyes. He knows this. There's many prophecies in Isaiah and Psalms about when only when the Messiah comes, he will be the only one that will open the eyes of the blind. He knew this. So as he was sitting by the temple gates, by the synagogue, he couldn't see, but he was definitely hearing the Word of God being read. Let's take a look at verse 33 and 34. Another truth right here, verse 33. Look at verse 33. "If this man Jesus were not from God, he could do nothing." Another truth in the scripture. Right? It sounds like Nicodemus back in chapter 3. We read about that. Nicodemus said, there's no way you can do these things if you're not from God. And Jesus told him three times in a row. He didn't even let Nicodemus ask a question. He knew why he was there. He had a hungry heart for God. And he tells Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Next verse. "Nicodemus, do not marvel that I say this to you. You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again, Nicodemus. That's in John chapter 3. So after these hard-hearted hypocrites cast him out, right? Well, let's see here. Verse 34. Getting ahead of myself. Let's finish this. Verse 34. It says, the Pharisees answered and said to him, look at what they say to this man. You were completely born in sins. In other words, you're blind because you were born in sin. There's some wretched men right here. And look what he says. He says, and you're teaching us? We're the religious folks. We're the religious leaders. And you're preaching to us? And look what it says. And they cast them out of the synagogue. They cast them out. So after these hard-hearted religious hypocrites cast them out of the synagogue, let's see what happens. This man's going to give his life to Christ right here. I love this story. Look at verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he, Jesus, had found him, I want you to remember that, Jesus found him, okay? Jesus said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Verse 38, then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus. Jesus opened his eyes. He touched his heart. And he surrendered his life to Christ. That's how salvation works. That's how it worked in you. That's how it worked in me. Jesus comes, he opens our eyes and touches our heart. And we worship him. That's why you're here. That's why I hope you're here this morning, is to worship Christ. He surrenders his life to Christ. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. That's how salvation works in the heart of a believer. Now, I want you to notice something in verse 35. It says that Jesus found him. Just like Jesus found you. God looks for us. He looks for us. I was lost, now found. That is biblical. I was lost and I found Jesus is absolutely not biblical. Jesus was never lost. We were. He found us. Amen? Jesus was never lost. We were. The scripture says he came to seek and save the lost. God was after you and me. He came searching for you and me. That is biblical. God called upon you and you responded. You know what that's called? Divine intervention and human responsibility. He called you and you responded, right? Free will. You can either reject Christ or you can receive him. We read back in chapter 6 of this gospel we've been going through, verse 44. What does it say? It says, listen carefully. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. No one can come to me unless the Father God on the lookout for you, draws him. If you brought your Bible with you, I want you to turn to John chapter 6, just three chapters back, if you got your Bible open. This is a very important passage for you to understand as a believer in Christ. We went through this chapter before, but I want to go through it again. I'm probably going to go through it a few more times. Love this passage. I want you to turn to John chapter 6. Very, very important. Very important passage for you to understand, and a very important passage to know that you can never lose your salvation. That's according to Jesus' words, not mine. And if Jesus said it, that settles it. Amen? Jesus said it, that settles it. Go to down to verse 37. I'm going to go down to verse 37, John 6, 37. Mark this up in your Bible. Listen carefully. This is Jesus, our Lord, talking. Verse 37, we're going to read down to verse 40. Look what Jesus says. First word, all. Don't just circle that. All that the Father gives me. Okay, here we are again. The Father draws, right? The Father gives me will come to me. That's powerful, huh? We're not even finished. We're just a little couple words in. And the one who comes to me, look at this, guys, I will by no means cast out. Saved for life in Christ, security, right? Listen, God didn't save us to just temporary, like, I'm sick of you. No, I'll take it back. No, I'm sick of you. I'll take it back. No, salvation's for life. It's not temporary. You think the Father's going to take away you that he gave to Jesus? Never. It's Jesus' words right here. He says, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. The Father's given them to me. Look at verse 38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me to save you. Verse 39, this is the will of the Father who sent me. Look at this. That of all, circle it in your Bible, all. All he has given me. All that the Father has given me, I should lose nothing. But I should raise it up in the last day. Then verse 40 says, and this is the will of him who sent me, right here, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have the everlasting life in his name. And look at what Jesus says, and I will raise him up on the last day. Amen. That's a promise from Christ to you. If you are in Christ Jesus, that's his promise saying, after this life, which is going to go by like that, I'm going to raise you up. You just watch me. Well, I don't know if that moves you guys, but it sure does move me. That's a promise from Christ to the believer. You, the Father has given you to me, and on the last day, I'm going to raise you up. You watch. Those are Jesus' words. You can count on them. Right? But if you still have your book open, chapter 6, you go right, drop right down to verse 44. Jesus said, all right, we left off in verse 40, jump down to verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him or her, and I will raise him up in the last day. Powerful. I shared this with you guys before. Think of it like this. The Father draws Okay? The Father draws. The Father gives. The Son receives. The Son keeps. And the Son raises us up on the last day. Amen? Powerful. All right, let's go back to our passage here. We'll look at our final verses. Back to John chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 39 and through 41. Verse 39. Now you're going to have to put your thinking cap on this right here. Okay? Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be blind." Now let's just stop here for a moment. That's a head scratcher, right? Right now we know that we read back in John chapter 3, verse 17, right? He said, "For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world." Right? We read that back in chapter 3, right? That's John 3, 17. Okay? "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." Why? The world was already condemned. Right? I mean, that's just logic, right? He didn't send me here to condemn you guys. You're already condemned. I came to save. Right? So this is different than what he's talking about the judgment. Right? He's saying that for I have come into this world, right? For judgment, I have come into this world. What is he talking about? He's talking about I've come into the world to, listen, separate those who believe in me and separate those who have rejected me. That's what he's saying. I've come into the world for judgment, okay? To separate those who believe and those who have rejected me, to declare judgment on those who have rejected me. Okay, that's what he's saying. I've come into the world to separate, right? To weed out, right? The wheat and the tares, the sheep and the goats, right? We read all that, right? He says, that's why I came. Came to separate those. Declare judgment on those who, listen, those who choose, by the way, to be separated from God. Right? You guys have heard me say this many times. God does not send people to hell. They send themselves. There's nobody in hell that can say, "Oh, I went to Jesus with all my heart and soul. He rejected me." Right? Nobody in hell can say that. God doesn't reject people. People reject God. You know how many times I've been asked as a pastor, if God's so loving, how come he sends people to hell? I say, he doesn't. They send themselves. Right? So let's see here. Let's look at verse 40 and 41. It says, "And some of the Pharisees who were with Jesus heard these words and said to Jesus, 'Are we blind also?' Jesus said to them, 'If you were blind, you would have no sin, but now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains.'" Wow. He said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains." In other words, you think you have it all figured out and you don't need me. That is the case with a lot of people, huh? They think they have it all figured out. In reality, they're lost. Amen? What a great story. "I was once blind, but now I see." What a testimony. And right to the point, "I was blind, but now I see. I was once one way, but now I'm another because of Jesus Christ." I love the picture of salvation in that way because salvation begins with blind eyes, spiritual blind eyes. And Jesus comes. And he opens our eyes, and we can say, I was blind. But now I see. So simple, so beautiful, a picture of salvation that we have read in this passage. You know, the big problem with a lot of people today is we live in the same world as Jesus was talking to them. So many people think they have it all figured out. You know some people like that? They think they got it all figured out. My good outweighs my bad. I'm a good person. Have you heard that? I don't need help. I see clearly. You know, the problem is most people watch the news. They'll see some guy kill five people. They say, that man's a sinner, not me. You see how lost people are? They compare themselves to other people. And they continue to say, I got this all figured out. I don't need a savior. I don't need Jesus. I'm a good person. And the Bible comes along and says, no, you're not. Right? The Bible says, oh, no, you're not. The Bible says just the opposite. Jesus said in Luke 9:24, for whoever desires to save his own life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Luke 9:24. You can't save yourself. Only Christ can save you from your sin. We need Christ. Jesus said the same thing in Mark 8. He said the same thing in Matthew 16. And Jesus tells these Pharisees, if you were only willing to admit that you were a sinner and that you were spiritually blind and ask me to forgive you, you would find forgiveness and life. That's simple. It's truly that simple. Grace is a gift. It's free. Amazing. What a great story, huh? Chapter 9, going through this. I think we've been in this book, this chapter for 3 weeks. What an amazing story of a blind man. I don't know how old he was. Scripture didn't say. He might have been 30, 40, maybe. But one thing we know, he sat by the gates of the temple and he listened to the word of God. And it got in his heart. And he met Jesus, and Jesus changed his life. And he said, I know one thing. I was blind, but now I see. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we complete chapter 9, this is the same way that you saved us. You found us, and you opened our eyes and touched our heart. And we surrendered. We surrender it all to you, Lord. Just like this blind man that you have dedicated, Lord, a whole chapter to this one man. This is a picture, Lord, we thank you for, of man being spiritually blind, sitting in darkness until we came to Christ. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, for your word and your precious name. Amen.